美国国会共和党众议员汤姆·蒂法尼代表威斯康星州的第七选区，在去年12月一场国会听证会上，蒂法尼议员指出，许多中国妇女利用美国太平洋属地卑马里亚纳群岛的免签政策到该群岛的首都塞班岛生孩子，孩子一出生即可获得美国公民身份。他对这样的滥用行为表示担忧。他随后在1月份加入多名国会共和党人支持一项终止美国出生公民权的法案。最近蒂法尼议员还提出多项和中国有关的法律引发关注。2月初他提出一项决议案，表达国会认为美国应该废除一个中国政策并恢复与台湾的正常外交关系。二月底，他与常年关注中国人权问题的资深共和党议员克里斯·史密斯联合提出议案，要求取消中国的永久正常贸易关系地位。作为美国之音与国会议员对话系列的一部分，美国之音记者张佩芝最近专访了蒂法尼众议员，请他就这些议题发表看法。
Congressman Tiffany, thank you so much for speaking with Voice of America. At a congressional hearing in December, you raised the issue of birthright citizenship abuse. That is, since 2009, Chinese citizens can go to Saipan on the Northern Mariana Islands, a U.S. territory, have babies there, and their babies will get U.S. citizenship.Following that, VOA China Division sent reporters there and uncovered that it is a hub for birth tourism for Chinese women. I know you've been concerned about this issue for a long time. Can you share with us the importance of closing this birthright citizenship loophole?
Yeah, so this was originated back in 2009, and it basically lets people come in without a visa. And I don't think that should be happening. So when I became apprised of this a few years ago, when we saw the incredible numbers of Chinese women who were going to Saipan and having babies, far more than Americans were on Saipan, it's clear that that loophole was being abused. And of course, we're having this whole discussion right now in regards to birthright tourism and or birthright citizenship. And I don't think that this is not how it was meant to be, to be able to allow people to come in on a visa or without a visa, but then be able to have a baby here. That's not how this was meant to be. And so I've asked Secretary Noem to close that loophole. And also there is birthright citizenship legislation that has been introduced into the Congress as well.
Are you optimistic something will be done about this soon?
Yeah, I think this will be dealt with, as I'm sure the Secretary of Homeland Security has a lot of things she has to deal with first before she gets to this. But I'm quite confident that they're going to be able to deal with this, because it's really the example that highlights why birthright citizenship should not be allowed.
China has seen U.S. as an adversary for a long time and has spread anti-American propaganda among its citizens. However, in recent years, there are more Chinese migrants coming through the southern border through the Darien Gap, where they use Saipan, for example, to get U.S. citizenship. How do you see this paradox?
Well, I was to the Darien Gap a few years ago, and I saw...the incredible number of people from around the world, not just China, that were coming through the Darien Gap, getting into the pipeline to America. And hopefully we are going to close that off. But it's obvious that China wants to bring people into this country. And they're stealing our technology. They're spying on people.I mean, when you think about the Chinese police stations that we found in New York City and places near me, like Minneapolis, Minnesota. And so it's clear that China does not respect our norms and values here in America. So therefore, we have to hold them to account for that.
So let's talk about U.S.-China relations. This relationship has gone through dramatic changes since China entered the WTO in 2001. How do you categorize or how do you describe the current state of U.S.-China relations? How did we get here?
Yeah, I think the goodwill of the American people has been abused. When you look at the theft of intellectual property, I just mentioned the police stations, something that is anathema to the American to American society. But I believe this goes back to when most favored nation status was given to communist China. And that's why I've introduced legislation with Representative Smith from New Jersey to revoke that permanent status and have it be renewed annually. I believe we will get much greater accountability by the communist Chinese government if they have to be good actors on and have this renewed on an annual basis. I think this is one of the most important things that we can do, because America is the marketplace that China was trying to get to. We have the largest consumer base, and that has led to prosperity for China over the last few decades. I believe they should respect that. They have not. And one way in which we can deal with this is to have an annual renewal for favored nation status.
You represent Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. What have the actions taken by China affect people in your district, especially on the trade front?
I'll give you one example. We grow almost all the ginseng in my district in northern Wisconsin. And the Chinese, the communist Chinese, have used this as a weapon in trade negotiations, because Wisconsin is such an important state in terms of elections that they've tried to turn the ginseng growers against Republicans, against President Trump, by saying, we're not going to take your ginseng anymore, because China took a lot of America's ginseng. It's the best that is produced in the world. And so they've used that. They've used trade specifically in regards to ginseng as a weapon, as a political weapon, and that should not be the case. And I'm hoping that the communist Chinese will relent on this now and allow ginseng to be imported into their country once again in the same volumes that they did a decade ago.
Do you support imposing tariffs on Chinese goods coming to the U.S.? And what are the other urgent steps that the U.S. should be taking to deal with this unfair trade practices?
Yeah, I do agree with tariffs. And I like the president's idea of having reciprocal tariffs. If you're going to tariff 25% on a particular product, then we're going to tariff 25% on a particular product. We would prefer to just see free trade, but it has to be fair trade. And I think there's a couple other things that we watch very closely here in America. We see the abuse of the Uyghur people in Western China. That is unacceptable in a free society, and that should not be happening. We do not want companies importing goods that are using slave labor. We haven't had a full accounting of what happened in the Wuhan lab with the coronavirus being, it appears almost certain that it came from that lab and caused incredible damage to not just America, but countries around the world. We need a full accounting in regards to those things, and China needs to provide that.
Taiwan is one of the biggest potential flashpoint in U.S.-China relations. You recently reintroduced a legislation or a resolution expressing it is a sense of the Congress to resume formal diplomatic relations with Taiwan and put an end to One China policy. Could you please take us through the thinking behind this proposal?
Yeah, when I first came into Congress nearly 5 years ago, this is one of the issues. Having been to Taiwan previously, I thought, why would we treat them as a pariah? This country that is modernized, it's free, they believe in democracy. And so I believe the One China policy is a relic of the 20th century, and we should take our foreign policy into the 21st century. So I introduced the bill, and I think I did it. I was all on my own the first time that I introduced it into Congress. Now you look at the last session of Congress, There were 50 members that joined me in this, and you're seeing this continue to grow on a bipartisan basis that we should recognize Taiwan. Communist China has never had possession of Taiwan. It's never been the case that China's had Taiwan. Taiwan should be treated as a free, democratic country, which it is, and America can lead the way by ending the One China policy from way back in 1979.
What is your response to the possibility that any efforts by the United States to resume formal relations with Taiwan would draw a strong response from China, and possibly in the form of military aggression towards Taiwan?
America should never shrink from bullies. The rest of the world should never shrink from bullies, from countries that are trying to take away another country's freedom. And America has always stood strong. The greatest danger to Taiwan, to China, and the rest of the world is for America to stand silent and say, we will continue to accept this One China policy that that should not stand. So the most important thing we can do is, we in America believe in peace through strength. President Trump believes in that. We need to be strong on this front and say, we recognize the free and democratic state of Taiwan, and that it should be recognized by other countries around the world as its own nation.
In recent years, it is often said that China, under the leadership of current Chinese President Xi Jinping, has become more repressive at home and more aggressive abroad. Do you see this assessment, and what do you think the U.S. should respond to the challenges?
America needs to stand strong. Let's go back to the 20th century. One of the most successful presidents in terms of foreign policy was President Reagan, when he stood up to the Soviet Union and he said, tear down this wall. Within a year or two, that's exactly what happened, because those communist countries were built on a house of cards. Communist China, I believe, is very similar. We need to stand up to them and say, you know, if you choose to run your country that way, you know, go ahead and do it, but we do not agree with you, and we do not accept when you try to come and steal our intellectual property, when you set up police stations in our cities in America to surveil your own citizens, when you release a virus like the coronavirus, when you're conducting experimentation that could be very dangerous for humanity, when you're stifling your own people, when you're threatening your neighbors like Taiwan. It's very important for America to stand up to that, because when America leads like that, the rest of the world follows, and we will do the right thing when America is strong.
What do you see the U.S.-China relations heading in the next decade?
If we continue with the policies of President Trump, I think we have the potential to have good relations. You know, maybe Xi Jinping chooses not to give up communism, and that's how he wants to rule his country, and that would be very unfortunate. But I think we end up with better relations when we have a strong America. But I know one thing. As long as America is strong and America takes care of its own business, that we produce things in America, that we have a strong foreign policy, that we have energy independence, that we secure our borders, that we have a open, free America, if we have those things, America's going to do just fine.
So lastly, is there any message you would like to send to our audience in China?
We want you to be a free people, just like we are here in America. And America's not perfect. We don't always do things right. But as we saw with the election in November, the American people got it right. They said, we want to have an America that has a secure border, that we reduce inflation, and that the American people can prosper, that we have energy independence, that we make things in America, that we have a strong foreign policy, work with those countries that want to have a free world. We are ready to work with people at any time to do that. And we stand on the side of the people of China who want to throw off the shackles of communism. We stand firmly with you every single day.
Thank you so much, Congressman Tiffany, for your time. Thank you.
It's great to join Voice of America today.
Thank you.